Hello to everyone who is joining me on either YouTube or on Spotify Green Room. This is Philip Rossmann-Reich, the host of Locked On Magic. It's time for a live Locked On Magic mailbag. We're going to talk about position battles heading into training camp and a whole lot more. Let's dive into it right now. If you're on Green Room, you won't hear the music sting, but here it goes.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And you are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is September 23rd, 2021. This episode for September 24th, 2021, our last Friday without Orlando Magic basketball. The next time we talk to you, it will be Media Day on Monday, September 27th. Almost here. It's almost here. Our long, insufferable nightmare of the short offseason is almost over. My name is Philip Rossmann-Reich. I'm the expert and site editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. You can follow me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode, we're going to talk about the position battles and the finalization of the Magic's training camp roster. We'll talk a little bit about some of the things that I'll be watching here in the preseason as the Magic begin to sort out their depth chart. Talk also a little bit about three-point shooting. And I'm doing this episode in the afternoon on Thursday, live on YouTube. We'll plan on doing these Thursdays at around 5 p.m. I'm also streaming as well on Spotify Green Room. So if you want to jump in and answer and ask a question, please feel free to do so. I am here to answer your questions all before the season starts. Probably see me holding my phone up if you're watching on YouTube to make sure our friends on Spotify Green Room can hear us. And if they can't, they can always subscribe to the YouTube channel. Before we do any of that, though, I do want to remind you all, you can check out all the great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network by searching your every download podcast for Locked On and the team you're looking for. Just like this podcast here, covering Orlando Magic with excruciating detail, this podcast covering every single team in the NBA with the same level of care and detail that you can only find from a local expert who knows their team best. Want the lowdown on any team in the NBA? You want the lowdown on, say, the Tampa Bay Rays as they get set to make the playoff, to head to the MLB playoffs? Check out our friends at Locked On Rays. No matter who your team is, whether it's in the NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB, or college too, there is a Locked On podcast for you. Just search for every download podcast for Locked On and the team you're looking for. The Locked On Podcast Network, it's your team every day. This podcast also brought to you by our pals at Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. As people continue to try and find us on the YouTube page or file into the Spotify Green Room, I may pause to send out those links once again. Let's talk a little bit about the Magic finalizing their training camp roster. The Orlando Magic this week signed Admiral Schofield, finally. He was a player who the Magic had allegedly or reportedly targeted during the season, back during regular season. And apparently there were some issues. I remember hearing that he did not pass the COVID protocols. The Magic do finally have him on the roster, and I would put him as a decently solid candidate to get one of the Magic's two-way contract spots. Magic still have one two-way contract spot to fill. But Schofield also represents the 20th player to sign with the Magic for their training camp, and you're only allowed a maximum of 20 players on your training camp roster. So, obviously, the Magic are full. You know, there's some people buzzing that maybe J. Cole was going to join the Magic since he is a former professional basketball player with the NBA Africa League. But no, J. Cole was just in town getting set for his concert on Saturday. He was invited to play, do a little pickup run with the Magic. He is not joining the Magic. The Magic roster is currently full. But now we have, you know, what's interesting about that is now we have a really good idea of what the Magic's depth chart kind of looks like. That is not an easy thing to do right now, but not an easy thing to sort out. There's a lot of questions still remaining about the depth chart, but here's what I have. And I posted this on OrlandoMagicDaily.com. I'm working on an article and it will be posted probably in the morning with some of these position battles with a little bit more detail on what to expect from them. But here's what I have currently for the starting lineup. Feel free to disagree. Feel free to jump in the comments and tell me how wrong I am. Right now, I have Markelle Fultz as my starting point guard with Jalen Suggs next to him at shooting guard. I have Gary Harris slotted as the starting small forward, Jonathan Isaac at power forward, and Wendell Carter at center. This is, again, assuming everyone is healthy. Behind them, I have Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton, Terrence Ross, Chuma Okeke, and Mo Bamba. Franz Wagner right now is my third string small forward, but that's probably more to make my graph look good. I probably put Terrence Ross as the backup two ahead of RJ Hampton and Franz Wagner as the backup three. But already you can see one of the big issues. Robin Lopez, I currently have third on my center depth chart with Michael Carter-Williams and Etuan Moore kind of filling out the main roster spots. You can already see then some trouble, some issues with the Magic's lineup, with the Magic's roster, with the Magic's depth chart. They are really thin at small forward. It's not that they're really thin at small forward, that they don't have people who can play small forward. But they've got a little bit of a mess in the middle of their lineup that they're going to have to sort through. And I think this is honestly one of the bigger questions the Magic face this training camp is who's going to start at small forward? Are you starting Jalen Suggs at point guard and sliding Gary Harris over the two? Are you even going to start Gary Harris? I do think Gary Harris is going to start. I think the Magic want at least one veteran in that lineup at all times. The small forward position, though, is really, really, really tricky for this Magic team, I think. I don't think that it's clear cut what the Magic are ultimately going to do here. You have options. I mean, options are a good thing. And I don't think they're bad options. If it's Gary Harris, it's Gary Harris. And I think Gary Harris can play really, really well. Obviously he's got questions that he's got to answer and he's got to get back to a certain level of play that he was at before. You've got Chuma Okeke, who I think can play small forward. I know the Magic were really determined not to have him play that position last year. But I really think that Chuma Okeke can step in and play the small forward position. But you could easily see Jonathan Isaac there. You could easily see Franz Wagner there. You could easily see Terrence Ross there. I don't think we should throw Terrence Ross out of the conversation as a starter. But no matter how you slice it, that forward rotation between the three and the four is going to be really tricky. You obviously have three guys you all want to play in Jonathan Isaac, Chuma Okeke, and Franz Wagner. The thing is, all three of those guys probably better fit at power forward who can play small forward. So again, this isn't an issue that you don't have guys who can play the position. Between Terrence Ross, Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, Jonathan Isaac, Franz Wagner, and Chuma Okeke, you have six guys that can play two spots. Or five guys that can play two spots or whatever the number is. It is six. You have the versatility. And versatility is a good thing. It's not a bad word to say that a team is versatile, that a team can do a whole bunch of different things. But I do think that the Magic are in this weird spot where they don't really know who's playing the three. And so much of this is going to be determined by what happens at other positions. Do you start Jalen Suggs at point guard? That would slide Gary Harris over the two and free you to start Chuma Okeke alongside Jonathan Isaac. Do you start Markelle Fultz at point with Jalen Suggs at the two? That slides Gary Harris over to the three and sorts that out. There's no perfect answer here. And I think a lot of this is going to be determined by what happens in camp, both Markelle Fultz with his health and whether he's able to step up and whether he's even ready to play and when he's ready to play. But a lot of this is going to get sorted out in camp over who's going to start at this forward position and where this all kind of falls. Or maybe it won't, because we don't know if Jonathan Isaac is ready to play. We don't know if Jonathan Isaac will be back in the lineup, and that will determine who the Magic ultimately starts small for and ultimately how the Magic integrate a player like Jonathan Isaac into their rotation once again. Again, these are all hypothetical questions because the starting lineup on a team like the Magic is going to be very, very fluid. I don't think you do anything matchup dependent. I don't think you do anything by committee. You need consistency in the lineup. I do agree with Steve Clifford and his philosophy there that you need that players need reliability. They need to know who they're playing with. They need that change should come. I think Steve Clifford was sometimes a little too slow to change when change was obviously needed. But you do need to give things time and you do need to give players some comfort and ability to develop within lineups, within playing groups. And obviously injuries can throw a huge wrench into that. So small forward, I think, is obviously one of the big areas that I think that the Magic have some room to grow and some room where they have to make some changes and really evaluate things this training camp. And this training camp is going to go a long way to support these. I'm seeing a speaker request on our Spotify green room page. So let's hear from Ian Bradley. Ian, what's up, man?
Hey Phil, thanks for taking my request. Long-time listener to the podcast. Really appreciate all the good work you do, and love listening to the podcast and reading your stuff on No Magic Daily.
Appreciate it, man.
One thing you mentioned a few times when you know in the podcast is RJ Hampton kind of struggled during summer league at the three. What is your thought on him playing more of that this year? Do you think he's? I mean, I think you said he's going to have to, but what do you think he needs to do to make that adjustment?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me, and for those, you know, I am trying to hold my phone up to my microphone for those watching on YouTube. I'll clean this up in post for the actual podcast. Sorry for the technical talk there, Ian, before I get to your question there. You know, one thing that I think RJ has to do to play the three, and obviously he's got the height now. I think the height was the first concern, but he's got the height now. I think the big thing is just adding strength. I felt like, you know, and the Magic got put into some tricky matchups for him to kind of experiment with the three in summer league. Having to play a Jonathan Kuminga, like Franz Wagner got pushed around by Jonathan Kuminga at the four. So everyone's going to deal with this kind of strength issue. Hampton's just got to put on some muscle and be able to take some punishment and match physicality. I mean, and I think that's a fair thing to say for any young player, you know, as they're developing is, can they take the physical beating? Can they take the physical pounding that comes with playing in the NBA? It's something we still talk about with Jonathan Isaac. It's something we still talk about with Mo Bamba is you've got to be able to kind of handle that aspect of the game. For me, you know, Hampton's going to get some opportunity to three. I've kind of mentioned this a little bit that he feels like to me sort of like the odd man out in some respects. Someone's going to be squeezed out of this rotation. There's 12, 13 players who really should be playing. Robin Lopez is probably not going to play at the beginning of the season. We'll talk about the center battle here coming up. But to me, for RJ Hampton to play the three, he's got to find a way to keep his speed because that's what's got him in the league. And he's got to just be stronger to be able to handle bigger players who, you know, maybe not as fast as him, but have just as much speed. And so, again, he's a young player. It's his second year in the league. It's not a big deal, but I was not impressed with how Hampton played at the small forward position during summer league because of that, because just the physicality of things really, really seemed to bug him. But that could be something that's changed in the last, you know, when was summer league in August, in the last month and a half, 2 months. You have a follow up there, Ian?
No, I actually meant to hit the stop speaking button.
Okay, no worries. Appreciate that. For those of you, I see a few people popping into the YouTube page. You're free to add comments. I will read off your comments. I see Stephen Keller saying, yes, go Vols. Going to love this guy about Admiral Schofield. He was also in our Spotify green room chat here asking, what do you foresee the reason for bringing in Schofield? What role do you think he will play? Schofield, just adding to the small forward rotation debate. Schofield was a pretty solid scorer and defender at the G League level. He played for the Greensboro Swarm last year, averaged about 10 points per game, averaged a little bit more the year before, around 14 points per game, I believe, with the Capital City Go-Go. He clearly has sort of that NBA body. I see him as a pretty solid defender for, you know, guy of his skill level. And I think that he can be, a really good defender. And I think he can be as well a good mid-range jump shooter and someone who is able to kind of get in between the defenses and put himself in a spot where he can score. He's not a great three-point shooter. He shot less than 30% from beyond the arc last year. Obviously, a little bit of a small sample with the bubble and the way that it was set up. He was above a 30. He was around 34, 35%, I think, the year before with the go-go. Hasn't really gotten his opportunity in the NBA. I think he's clearly kind of on the borderline of an NBA talent. I think Schofield's goal in training camp is to get that second two-way contract. We can talk a little bit more now that we have the training camp roster about who is really in the running for the two-way contracts and who might end up that spot. Obviously, Ignas Brazdeikis has got one of them. I think Hassani Gravett's a really good bet to maybe get that second two-way contract as well. But I think we'll see Schofield kind of sign either full-time with the Lakeland Magic or if he plays really well, you know, and the Magic don't have any use for him, end up somewhere else sort of at the end of the bench. I think that he's going to get an opportunity. Obviously, it's a great chance, great opportunity, great place for young guys to get chances and opportunities with the likelihood that the Magic are probably going to be sitting guys and have some injured players who are going to be slow coming back. I think there is opportunity there for him, but I think ultimately he's probably going to end up in the G League this year and end up being a guy who is playing at the end of the bench or on a two-way contract for most of the season. That's just kind of my sense of things at the moment. Before we move on, I do want to talk, we'll talk about the center rotation and kind of the big center battle that we'll see here in training camp. And obviously I think it's probably the biggest and most interesting training camp battle that we have. But before we do that, let me tell you a little bit about Built Bar. If it's not against the policies here on Spotify Green Room, I'm going to do my ad read so I don't have to record these later. If you don't know, I talk about Built Bar a lot on the Locked On Magic podcast. It is by far the best protein bar that I've ever had. I am not a workout guy. I often skip my workouts. I am not someone who needs some of those protein bars that you see at the grocery store or at the convenience store that are like 350 calories. They're essentially meal replacements. Most of us don't need that. We don't need a meal to follow our workouts. We just need a quick snack to give us some energy, give us some protein to back up our workout and to get going for the rest of our day. That's what Built Bar really is. Okay, they come in great flavors that taste exactly what they say on the box, like cookies and cream or German chocolate or even like strawberry or raspberry. And not only that, they're healthy for you too. The macros are 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. So I think the most interesting and probably most important training camp battle that we'll see is the backup center position. This is going to be a Mo Bamba discussion because I think most of us have Mo Bamba penciled in as the backup center for the Orlando Magic. And I think that's perfectly fair. This is obviously a young team. This is a developing team. Robin Lopez has essentially said, I'm here to be a utility guy. However the team needs to play me, that's how they want to play me. I'm going to be a veteran. I'm going to help these guys in practice, help these guys get better. That's exactly what you want to hear from the kind of veterans that you're bringing into this roster. So Mo Bamba, essentially that backup center position is for him to lose. And no player really needs a fresh start quite like Mo Bamba. That guy needs a restart. He needs a new pair of eyes on him. He needs a new coach with him. He needs someone that's going to get a little bit more out, or not necessarily get more out of him, but give him a second chance that comes in with no preconceived notions. And Bamba did all the right things by going to Summer League, being a part of the Summer League process, and really taking it on himself to make a good first impression, because obviously just him and Steve Clifford just didn't click. And I it's not that I think that necessarily Steve Clifford didn't like Mo Bamba. It's that Steve Clifford needed something that Mo Bamba couldn't give him, and that's consistency. And that's young players are really difficult to give consistency. Bamba was kind of had a lot of things taken away from him. His health was taken away from him in his first year, right when it felt like he was getting comfortable. He had the injury in Summer League that kept him from really having a full good summer. Then, right as he looked like he was getting better, the COVID stop happened. Then he got a COVID, really struggled to recover from that. And by then, Clifford had kind of moved on and was looking for guys that would help him win. And at the end of the day, Bamba was still essentially a rookie, still hadn't really kind of taken that next step. This summer, we talked a lot about this with Aaron Gordon and why his development seemed to slow down. Gordon's probably a little bit more talented than Bamba. The reason why Aaron Gordon never took the steps we expected him to take was he had a lot of off seasons taken away from him where he couldn't get better, where he was always coming, playing from behind. Bamba had a full off season this summer. And by all accounts, he's been healthy the entire off season. And that would obviously put him in a really good spot to show the kind of improvements that we're waiting to see from him. The thing is with Bamba though, is the time is now. He's got to do it now. He's got to assert himself now. He's got to be a presence now because his contract runs out at the end of the year. And right now, honestly, I like Mo Bamba. I think that he can still be a really solid player. I don't know if he can be a starter, but I think he can still be a player who can contribute and still continue to grow. But if I'm the Orlando Magic, I'm not signing Mo Bamba right now. I'm not putting that expense in. I'm not putting that in. Bamba still has to show me a lot of things for me to make that kind of investment in him. So this training camp is critical for Mo Bamba. Not only is he making a good first impression on a new coach in Jamal Mosley, he's also He's also fighting for his spot in the league, essentially. And he cannot let Robin Lopez beat him. Now, I don't want to make this a straight, you know, battle or comparison between Lopez and Bamba. We know what Robin Lopez is. At a certain level, it's Bamba has to play better than Robin Lopez, than what we know Robin Lopez is. And if he, even if he's close, it's probably going to be enough to edge him ahead on the depth chart. But Bamba has to perform. At the end of the day, this is a league that's about performance. It's about what you do on the court and how you contribute to winning. That's really important in this league. And so the biggest, probably, you know, again, it might be the easiest to answer. It might make intuitive sense that Bamba is the clear backup center, but the biggest battle in training camp is going to be the backup center spot. It's the biggest, it's not necessarily a mystery, but you know, a lot is on the line. There's the highest stakes involved in that backup center battle. A lot of people, you know, I've talked to a lot of fans who still believe that Bamba can supplant Wendell Carter as the starting center. And honestly, I don't think that's crazy. Personally, I'd like to see some lineups where Carter and Bamba are playing together. I think if Carter has improved, especially his outside shot and as a three-point shooter, I think you could pull that off. I think that would be a really strong defensive lineup. And depending on matchups, I think that's something that this team should absolutely explore and absolutely experiment with at some point during the season. But you know, Bamba's got to earn that spot too. Bamba's got to earn that trust. Bamba's got to become a much more consistent defender with his positioning. You know, he can block shots, but players are not scared of going after him, not scared of attacking him, and not scared of drawing him out. He's got to be much more consistent as a defensive presence and defensive leader. And obviously, I think that's a lot easier said than done. That's certainly a tricky proposition for him. Again, I do like Bamba. I do think Bamba will ultimately be the backup center, at least to start the season. I think Robin Lopez is there as a veteran leader. He'll maybe get some spot appearances here and there. You know, maybe probably play more if there's injuries than anything else. This is still Bamba's spot to win or lose. But at the same time, Bamba's got to earn it. There are no excuses now. He's healthy. He has a fresh start with a new coach. He has experience in the league. He played a lot at the end of last season. He played decently well, put up good numbers around 11 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, block and a half per game, roughly. But he's got no excuses. The injuries are gone. Steve Clifford's gone. He's got to perform. And if he does, I think that he will firmly place himself somewhere in the league. It may not necessarily be with the Magic, but it will be somewhere in the league. For those watching on YouTube, thank you for joining us for this experiment with the live mailbag. Feel free to drop your questions in the comment section. I will be happy to answer your questions here on the show. I'm also live on Locker Room. If you want to find me there. On Spotify Green Room, used to be Locker Room. I'm also on Spotify Green Room if you want to join the show that way. I'm taking your questions. I'll probably hang out here for another like 7 or 8 minutes or so. I have one more topic that I was planning to talk about for the show, but I'd rather talk about what you want to talk about as well. So while you're getting your questions ready and maybe putting a speaker request in or coming up here, let me do some more ad reads because we got to pay the bills. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local auto parts chain store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers. With access to rockauto.com, the warehouse is literally in your pocket. So save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low. For every customer, they have everything you can need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there, how'd you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. This podcast also brought to you by our pals at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is back and better than ever, and all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on the field to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. I want to thank everyone who's been able to join us today on YouTube as well as on Spotify Green Room. I am going to plan on doing this every Thursday at around 5 p.m. We'll do live mailbags. You know, I'll have some content prepared, but I want to hear from you guys, just like I want to hear from Dem_Dota. Sorry if I mispronounced that. He asked, who's your surprise breakout player currently on the roster? He's also the number one Magic fan from Ohio. Appreciate you jumping in and asking your question. Dem, I don't know if that's your name. I'm just going by your handle. Surprise breakout player on the roster. I do think that Chuma Okeke is going to be a lot better than people are thinking. Honestly, and I'm guilty of this too. I don't think we're really talking much about Chuma Okeke and what he did last year and how good he can be. I don't think he's, you know, baby Kawhi in that sense. I don't think that he's necessarily, like a superstar level player, but this guy is at the very least like Courtney Lee levels of good kind of young role players. And I don't see a reason why he can't have that kind of an impact. We're going to talk a lot about ACL tears throughout the course of the season because we're expecting Markelle Fultz back. We're expecting Jonathan Isaac back. The way I often describe ACL tears, and this is just an extreme generalization here. It takes a year to recover enough to be on the court. It's about 9 to 12 months recovery, 9 to 14, you know, I've heard it's 14 months or 10 to 14 months, but it's essentially a full year to get back on the court, just being able to play again. So again, this is why we think Jonathan Isaac will be available for training camp, even in a limited capacity, and hopefully ready for the start of the season. It's why I'm not expecting Markelle Fultz back until at least Christmas, because it takes a full year to be back on the court. From there, though, it takes another full year to be back to full strength. So you're kind of back where you were before the injury. The issue with ACL tears and the issue with ACL injuries is not that it's not something you can recover from. It's certainly not a death sentence anymore. It's the time it takes to recover. That's the trick of ACL injuries. That's the problem with ACL injuries. It's just time. You only have so much of it, as the Merovingian said in The Matrix Reloaded. How can we ever have time if we can never attain time? Sorry, I know Matrix Reloaded may cause some PTSD for some people. I too am excited for Resurrections, and I think I'm in the minority. Matrix Revolutions is a good movie. Fight me. But nevertheless, I do expect that Chuma Okeke, I thought, had a really good rookie season. I thought that he was thrown into some really difficult and tricky situations. And he took it all in stride. And we saw, you know, once he was comfortable, you know, especially after he came back from that first injury, once he was comfortable, he played really well and contributed key shots to wins against the Golden State Warriors, especially. But honestly, you go back and watch that LA Clippers game that the Magic won in Los Angeles. He played really well. I mean, he was a big reason why they won that game. Obviously, like Michael Carter-Williams' defense, Terrence Ross, you know, really helped spark that comeback. But Chuma Okeke had a really nice individual game. And, you know, I saw him grow and improve defensively as the season went on. You know, Carmelo Anthony got him a bunch in that game at Portland. And then Chuma, I thought, did a really good job defensively on Carmelo Anthony in the return trip in Orlando, which, you know, obviously was a kind of tight game, kind of not tight game. And in really difficult circumstances, considering how many players the Magic were missing that day with the new guys not yet arriving. The thing though is, you know, I think Chuma Okeke will develop and continue to improve as a 3-point shooter. I think that he will continue to get better there, and I think we'll see him really assert himself. Honestly, if the Magic do end up starting Jalen Suggs at point guard and Gary Harris sliding over the two, I'd start Chuma Okeke. And I think really the key with Chuma Okeke is just him continuing to look comfortable and feel like he can really belong on the floor. So I'm really excited about the year Chuma Okeke is slated to have. Let's hear from Stephen Keller from our Spotify Green Room. Stephen, how you doing, man? Stephen, are you there? waiting for Steven to pop on here.
Hey, Phil, sorry, I was on mute. I guess you have to do the unmute. The
same no worries.
Way. You have to do Zoom and everything.
It's hey, technology, man. What are you going to do? I'm literally holding your phone up to a microphone here. So we're all doing the best we can.
Yeah, appreciate your podcast. Been listening for years, and we've interacted a little bit through the mailbag a few years ago when Weltman first came on. So really excited to hear the Schofield. I hadn't read the news until you said it. So my wife was a Vol for life. She graduated from UT, and I remember watching all the UT games where he was, doing a good job for them. So thanks for your input on him there.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to this new chapter in Magic with the new coach and everything. So just wanted to pop on and say hello and just to say appreciate you and all your coverage over the years.
I can't even think of the phrase anymore. I do appreciate the thanks. Steven, let me ask you this while I have you. What is the thing you're most looking forward to from this upcoming season?
Just seeing these young players develop, Chuma, just seeing all the talent we have start to just grow and develop. I live an hour and a half away from Orlando, but I grew up in, went to Magic games growing up with Shaq and Penny. And over the years, I was there the day Shaq scored, 59 points, and most of them off of dunks. So, my wife just told me, hey, the girls want to go to a Magic game now. So trying to get my family into it. So we'll be coming down to hopefully see Schofield play if he makes it. But nonetheless, happy to see he's on the team for at least a little bit.
Yep. It should be good. And then, everything I've heard about Schofield, I've heard good things about him. I think he's very, Washington was a weird situation. I don't know all the details of it, but he's obviously a very talented player. And I honestly do think that he's probably going to end up with that second two-way contract. So he'll be bouncing between Orlando and Lakeland. At the very least, you should be, if you don't mind a little bit of a longer drive, you should be able to catch him in Lakeland.
Yeah, cool. So thanks for taking my request.
No problem. Thanks for hopping on, Stephen. I appreciate you doing that. On the YouTube, we have a comment from Felipe Bruce from Brazil. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name there, Felipe. He asks, are you afraid that Magic trade for Ben Simmons? Based on Magic's historical bad moves, we probably would give a lot for him. I have been in constant debate with people about this since the Simmons thing went down. I did a podcast on it the other day with a pretty nice caption, I felt like. I don't think the Magic should go after Ben Simmons. I spoke a lot about this over the last few off seasons when the Magic were kind of in that middle ground, when they were kind of in that first round ring. And I was like, well, at a certain point, you got to make the all-in trade when you're in the position the Magic are in. You either got to go all the way back to the start, or you got to go push your chips to the middle and really go for it. And we talked about a few different players that they could have done it for. Russell Westbrook was probably the most notable. And I didn't think Russell Westbrook was the right guy to push in for because of his age, because of how it looked like he was declining. Now, obviously, he played really well last year too. To me, it's really about timing. Is this the right time to expend the assets that you have accumulated to go after a player like this? Now, I want to say this. Ben Simmons is a really good player. Ben Simmons is an all-star level player. He's an all-defensive team type player. He is really good. The question is, is this a guy you want to build your franchise around? Is this the guy you want to push your chips into the middle of the table for? So you always have to ask kind of what the next question is. What do I have left after I trade for Ben Simmons? Looking at the players the Magic have, I don't think the Sixers would be interested in Jonathan Isaac until they see him play, especially coming off that new contract, although it would certainly be a discount over what they're paying Ben Simmons. I think really the only player that the Sixers would have any interest in trading for is Jalen Suggs. So you probably have to do Suggs, either Harris or Ross, maybe another young player, maybe I don't know who it would be, and certainly some draft capital. The Sixers right now are still asking for a lot in order to trade for Ben Simmons. They still have some leverage because Simmons has on a four-year deal. So you're committing a lot. Not only that, not only on top of that, if you do acquire Ben Simmons, your clock to win starts now. He's on a four-year deal, so you have a little bit of time to build the team around him. But you better know exactly what that next step in the process is, what that next step to making your team a championship, not just a team that wins in the playoffs, but a championship level team, because that's the kind of player that Ben Simmons probably feels he is, and the kind of competition that Ben Simmons is frankly used to. So I don't think you do the deal on do something like that unless you know what those next steps are. You could find a way, you know, if Jalen Suggs comes out or you're watching Jalen Suggs in these pickup games and you're like, this guy's an all-star today. Like, he's going to be an all-star. We can make the playoffs today. If by running Suggs and Simmons out there, if that's the case, do the deal. Maybe you push all in a little early. I'm a big believer of, I say this on around the draft. If you identify your player, if you identify the guy that you absolutely want, go get him. Don't mince words. Don't foot around. Go get him. If Simmons is their guy, go get him. It doesn't matter the cost. You can figure out the next parts later. It's the NBA. You can move guys around. Essentially, you'll be reshaping the roster anyway. What I really think is important about this exercise is not necessarily should the Magic go after a guy like Ben Simmons, because I don't think that question is interesting. It is interesting, but I'm not insulting the question. I don't think that question is salient or important. The important question to ask is, what conditions need to happen for the Magic to get involved in a trade for a player like Simmons? You look at Minnesota, who, before everything that happened in Minnesota yesterday, was probably the favorite to land Simmons. They have Karl Anthony Towns. They have D'Angelo Russell. They have Patrick Beverley. They have Anthony Edwards. They have players in place where they could maybe give up a D'Angelo Russell, or they could give up some players and still have a really competitive roster where Simmons is the guy that maybe takes them over the top. That's where they were at. That's where I thought the Magic were at 2 years ago, where, we need Aaron Gordon maybe to take another step up, and then Aaron Gordon becomes the centerpiece of the trade that gets the Magic the star that they really, really need. That was, again, one of the big disappointments from the Aaron Gordon era, and what Aaron Gordon eventually became to represent was kind of this wasted opportunity, this wasted potential to be more than he is. And again, it's not that Aaron Gordon's a bad player. It's not that Aaron Gordon isn't what he is. The Magic just, they drafted him. They put him in a role where he needed to be more. So the Magic, I think, aren't in this position where they can entertain these kinds of trades, no matter how talented Ben Simmons is, unless they know that Clutch is going to funnel clients to them beyond that. I think the Magic, they made this decision at the trade deadline to be patient. I don't see them abandoning that this soon. I think it showed a lot of guts. I think it was a message to fans like, hey, we know we screwed up the last rebuild. We strung it out as long as we could. We wrung everything we could out of that group. It's time to restart, and we're gonna hopefully do it right this time. And obviously, the lottery was a really disappointing night for the Orlando Magic, but they ended up with a guy that a lot of people think can be that star level player. So I think thanks for the question, Felipe. It is definitely something that we're thinking about a lot. But I don't see the Magic making that kind of move quite yet. We've been on here now for about 40 minutes on the YouTube channel, as well as on Spotify Green Room. So I think I'm going to close up shop for today. I want to thank everyone who is able to join us for this experiment with a YouTube live show, as well as a Spotify kind of simulcast on Spotify Green Room, so you can get your questions in. I'm going to plan on doing this every Thursday at around 5 p.m. So be sure to follow me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_OMD. You see it on the screen right there. You can see it on the screen on the YouTube channel right there. So follow me on Twitter there. That's where I'll post all the links every Thursday. So definitely be sure to check that out. Obviously, we are getting really, really excited for the start of the season. So we're trying to plan and do a whole bunch of different things to get us ready for that as well. You, of course, follow me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_MD. Like I said, follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Magic. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Himalaya, Google Play, Spotify, Odyssey, and all of the ways to download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device, as well as now subscribe on YouTube to search for Locked On Magic. If you don't find it there, go again to my Twitter account. I'll have links there. Don't worry. You'll be able to find it and subscribe and get Locked On Magic delivered to you in whatever format or medium you want. Be sure also to check out the Locked On Bets podcast. Betting on any sport really doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. That's going to do it for me, though. I want to thank you all again for listening and or watching today's episode of Locked On Magic. Really, really, really appreciate you all for joining the show. However you do, we'll hopefully continue to grow and expand this as the season gets going. But until then, for Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, this has been Philip Rossman-Reich. We'll see you all again next time for another episode of Locked On Magic.